On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're talking about roads, bridges, transportation infrastructure projects that are proposed in the governor's two-year spending plan. According to the 511 construction projects map, 40 construction projects are currently underway throughout Wisconsin. Hundreds were completed last year amid the pandemic. How are roads where you are? What construction projects do you want prioritized in the next state budget? What one do you want a status update on? It's 800-642-1234. Craig Thompson is Secretary Designee of the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. Secretary Thompson, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with our highways. The governor's budget proposes about $566 million in federal and state money for major highway projects. Tell us about the priorities there.
Well, when we look at the roads, highways, and really across the spectrum, the priority, the first budget of the governor's and this one, is really focusing on fixing what we have now. We've got a lot of roads at the local level, town, city, village, county, and at the state level that really were underfunded for decades. And so we're really trying to, the investments we are making, we're really trying to focus on really fixing what we have.
Well, you know, state officials expect the trend of reduced driving habits to continue well into 2022 fiscal year. How do you pay for all these road projects, these road repairs that you see needed all across the state?
Yeah, that's a great question, because we do fund transportation in Wisconsin really with user fees, and the biggest user fee of that is a gas tax. So as driving is down, the revenues from that are down. So for the last year, since the pandemic, we did experience, I think most people would just intuitively think, and they would be right, that we experienced less amount of gallons of gas being used. So we did try to do as much as we could to mitigate costs on our end. And then we also got some increased money from the federal government. All of the state DOTs did to sort of backfill that lost revenue. So for what's already occurred, that more than filled in for the lost revenue that we had. But we are making sure that we're paying very close attention to what the projections are. We have models that we update every quarter, and the spending that we're proposing, you know, aligns with the revenue that we intend that will come in.
Yeah, you know, the governor's budget does not propose an increase in the gas tax, which is, as you said, a main source of revenue for road, bridge, and transit projects. Is this problematic, or will you see more borrowing in the future?
Well, for this two-year period, we are increasing bonding slightly. Now, if you look at the last budget, we were able to, the governor was able to sign the first increase in ongoing revenue in a generation, and at the same time, drive new bonding down to the lowest levels by far in a long time. So as we looked at the next two-year period, the governor really wanted to make sure that we did not lose ground on the tremendous progress that we made in his first budget. But at the same time, did not feel that with what's going on within the economy and people's personal finances as a result of the pandemic, that in this budget was the time to ask for increased revenues. So we did issue some more bonds in order to, not slide back on the investments we made last time and make some new strategic investments. But still, the four-year bonding, if you look at both the budgets combined, is significantly lower than where we've been for the last 16 years. And with rates being at what they were at, we felt this was a prudent way to make sure that we could continue to make progress without having to ask folks for a revenue increase this budget.
We're talking with Craig Thompson, Secretary Designee of the State Department of Transportation, as we look at state transportation issues as related to the next two-year spending plan and how to pay for these projects. You can join in. What questions do you have for the Transportation Secretary? Are there transportation issues that you want an update on in your community? Priorities, 800-642-1234. Ron is joining us from Manitowoc County. Hi, Ron.
Good morning. Thanks. Number of sources that could be considered for revenue. In many townships, there are basically private driveways, which are considered public roads and receive state funding. Low-density residential cul-de-sacs are basically private roads for the people living on those roads which we support. Billboard boards certainly would be a source for revenue, because they would not exist other than for the public roads they are next to. And something like very expensive RVs in Wisconsin pay $120 per year for their license, while some of these truck drivers who would have the same weight as some of the large RVs would be paying in the $1,200 and $1,300 range.
Ron, thank you for your call and your insights there. Secretary Thompson, a couple issues there, starting with private drives and these low-density roads.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate Ron is definitely trying to think of different ways for us to fund what we have. And, you know, he brought up a couple different ideas there, private drives, billboards. Billboards are something that we do derive some revenue from already. But I, you know, I think those are all things we can look at to help at somewhat at the local level. I think overall, as we look at nationally, we're going to be, you know, General Motors has said that they're going to be making all electric vehicles by 2035. Ford is making significant investments that way. I know the Biden administration is doing what it can to encourage that for climate change. So I think at a national level, we're going to have to look at probably, in addition to maybe some creative things at a local level, like what Ron was just talking about. But I think overall, nationally, we really need to look at starting to transition to something like a vehicle miles traveled, where we continue funding transportation with a user fee. But at some point in time in the not too distant future, the gas tax probably isn't going to be the most sensible way to do that.
And so you would look for an annual mileage that people would drive, and that would be regulated at the federal level?
It could be. I mean, we pay a federal gas tax right now. And so if you went to a federal vehicle miles traveled, then you wouldn't have these state boundary issues and different things like that and trying to implement it. And then, whether it be agnostic on how you're powering your car, whether it's a hybrid, an electric, still gas, whatever it might be, it would just be, you know, more of a what the gas tax has really been a user fee in kind of a proxy for usage for a long time. But as we transition away from that, we're going to have to figure out if we're going to still use that same concept, how to do that when fewer and fewer cars are being powered by gasoline.
You mentioned electric vehicles, and the governor's budget would authorize $5 million in bonding for electrical vehicle charging infrastructure. Can you explain this priority?
Sure. If you look at a couple of years ago, the legislature and the previous governor had increased the registration fees on electric and hybrid vehicles. And what we're looking at in this budget proposal is that those increased fees bring in around $5 million a year. So what the governor's proposing is to dedicate about $5 million a year to electric vehicle charging stations. So there really would be a nexus with people getting that have electric and hybrid cars getting some value out of that registration fee that they're paying.
Zooming in here on Milwaukee just for a moment, the I-94 east-west, that expansion corridor, what does the governor's budget say about this and where you're headed on that?
Sure. As I said, like the priority in this budget and the previous really, for the most part, has been putting our resources into fixing what we have. And in this corridor, that's true too. But there is $40 million in bonding proposed in this budget to rebuild the corridor, but also to harmonize it with what's on each side, which is the Marquette Interchange lies on the south side, or on the east side, and the Zoo Interchange on the west side. Mm. And if you look at this as a corridor, which it really is, it's just being done in stages, it's four lanes going each way in the Marquette, coming the other way, and four lanes from the Zoo. And you have to merge coming each way, which makes it one of the most dangerous. We have 2.5 times the accident rate as the rest. So for that 3.5 mile stretch, we are looking at rebuilding, modernizing, and making it the same amount of lanes that we see on each end of that corridor.
We have Transportation Secretary Designee Craig Thompson as our guide as we work through infrastructure priorities, construction projects slated in the next 2-year budget that Governor Evers is proposing. Where should Wisconsin find money to fix its roads? Do you support raising gas taxes, installing tolls, or changing the state's road network in another way? How do you think we should maintain our roads and bridges? Join in at 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Craig Thompson here on the Ideas Network. It's a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're discussing proposals on the table for the next two-year state budget in the area of transportation. And we want to hear from you. What updates do you want on construction? What are your thoughts on rail and bus transit investments amid the pandemic? Join in at 800-642-1234. We have Transportation Secretary Designee Craig Thompson, who's with us for 10 more minutes. Jeff wants to talk rail in La Crosse. Hi, Jeff. Go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. I was wondering if there's any chance that the effort towards high-speed rail will be restarted?
Well, Jeff, I really appreciate the question. And as far as high-speed rail, I think that's something that we're going to have to continue to look at. Again, I know the Biden administration, I think, is going to be putting an emphasis on rail and others. But I will say, in the meantime, we've been really pleased. We've had really a successful year this past year in our area of rail and harbors, of getting some federal money. We got about a $30 million grant for your area, but all the way down to add another line from the Twin Cities through Milwaukee to Chicago on the Amtrak line that now is the Empire Builder. And there's one line that goes through that way, but it goes all the way out to the West Coast, all the way out to Seattle and back. And so sometimes the stop times aren't quite as reliable as people would like. So with this money and the joint venture that we applied for with Minnesota, we're going to make some track improvements on our side near La Crosse and some other areas. And Minnesota is going to be doing some on their side. And the idea is, it's called the TCMC, Twin Cities, Milwaukee, Chicago, that will add another daily round trip that goes only from the Twin Cities to Chicago. So we're really excited about that it's going to, it should be on time, should be much higher, and there's going to be shuttles back and forth. And so from the passenger rail, from that standpoint, we're excited about that. And we were also able to receive some federal grants last year to increase the routes on the Hiawatha line, which is one of the worst.
I was going to ask that. Yeah. What's being done on the Amtrak Hiawatha service?
So we're going to be doing some improvements on what's called the Muskego Yards there that will separate some of the rail there, and we're working with Canadian Pacific, who has a line on there too that operates freight. But right now pre-pandemic, and we're going to be heading back to it soon, there was 7 round trips a day. And the idea is that we're working again with Illinois, and they're making some upgrades on their end that will increase that eventually to 10 round trips a day. So that we think will be a major improvement as well.
Chris is with us in Milwaukee. Chris, hi. What would you like to ask about?
I want to talk about expanding the freeway in Milwaukee. Number one, Milwaukee has almost the best freeway rush hour travel times for cars in the country. On the other hand, it has some of the worst travel times for mass transit in the country. Now, in order to expand this freeway, what you're going to have to do is take out not just some, but more of the cemetery that is a veteran cemetery. And for what? We already have some of the best travel times. People outside of Milwaukee don't want all that money wasted in the city. People in the city don't want that money wasted in the city. I don't know who wants it. Hang up and listen to the answer. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Go ahead, Secretary.
Sure. And so, first of all, about the Veterans Cemetery, we will not be disrupting any graves anywhere at any of the cemeteries. So, and even with adding the lane, the footprint is going to change very little. There's, I think, going to be about 3 or 4 businesses affected and less than a handful of residences. So we're not really affecting the footprint size very much there at all. But again, it is, we have 2.5 times the rate of accidents there that on similar highways in that area. So what I would agree with her about is that we need to do better in transit. But the only way we can do that is we've got to get, well, we could get more money from the federal government for it too, but we would also get funding that's going to have to go through the legislative process. And that's been a little hard to achieve. The governor tried to increase mass transit operating in the last budget by 10%, and that got knocked down to 2%. In this budget, we're proposing some more increases and to try to help Milwaukee County and other bus systems with capital replacements. But so we do need to do better on transit. But I do want to assure the caller that none of the graves will be disrupted at any of those cemeteries. And we do just want to make it a modern, safer connection where all the lanes are the same amount on that stretch.
Craig Thompson, Secretary Designee of the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, as we look at transportation funding projects within the state. Secretary, what does this budget do for public transportation, for walking and biking infrastructure? What do you see going on there?
So we've got numerous provisions in there for it. We're proposing a 2.5% increase in each year for local governments for mass transit operating. We're proposing a $10 million program for bus capital replacement so that they can replace or upgrade their buses. We're proposing returning complete street legislation. So in areas where it makes sense and local governments want to, then we're redoing the streets. We do them to include bike accommodations and others. We're proposing to give local units of government back the authority they used to have, which was the power of eminent domain to create bike paths. We've got our electric vehicle charging station funding that we talked about. And then we're also including $15 million in there for what we're calling critical infrastructure grants for locals, where we're seeing weather events that have caused persistent flooding or things like that they can be more proactive in that regard. So I think the governor's budget really tries to lean into those issues pretty heavily.
Julie is now with us in Lancaster. Julie, hi.
Hi. I just had a question about prioritizing and planning. For example, I live near Lancaster, and the entire stretch of County K was paved between Lancaster and 18 in 2019, and then completely tore up and repaved again in 2020, which to me appeared to be unnecessary. I think that I was just wondering what your ideas were for better planning and more efficiency, and I will hang up as well and just listen. Thank you.
Well, I'd have to go down in Lancaster and see the part that Julie's talking about, because she's right. That shouldn't happen. We should not be repaving that stretch and then having to do it again 2 years later. What our planning model is we've got a very robust asset management system where we really do look at what the best treatment is statewide through a very data-based approach. And it really does try to look at what you will see sometimes now. And people think that's a relatively new road, and you may see us out or the locals out crack sealing or doing some of those other things. And what we found is for a very little amount of money during what we call sort of the sunshine period, if you get out and do the right treatments at that time, we can make that area of roadway last a lot longer, because as we know, it's the cracks that moisture gets into and different things like that end up causing the biggest problem later on down the road. So we really have an asset management approach that we try to apply statewide to make sure that we are planning and making the best use of our resources.
You completed 375 projects last year in a pandemic year. Do you find that you will be able to accomplish as many this year?
I believe so. And I was really I couldn't be more proud of the people. You know, our folks that work for the department, but there's so many in the private sector that are actually engineering and outbuilding and so many just great people that were out doing it, that we were able to keep all of those projects going. And as a matter of fact, with the decreased traffic, we were able to finish a lot of those projects ahead of schedule and under budget. So we were very pleased by that. It actually put us in a position where we received some federal redistribution money, because some other states weren't able to spend the federal money and they scoop it back up and redistribute it to states that could. So that garnered us about another $50 million last mm-hmm. year. So I think it was people being smart, following the protocols, being safe, allowing us to do that. And I'm fully anticipating that we'll be able to do that. And hopefully for all of us, with vaccines rolling and all that, things will be better in this upcoming year.
Let's bring in Mike now in Vilas County with insights. Mike, hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was calling because, you know, back, I was a state trooper at one time, and when I worked in Wisconsin, our governor then in the legislature changed the law to ban these speed cameras from using in enforcement. And I'm up in Vilas County now, and I look at the number of crashes and fatalities we've had, as well as statewide. Why can't they change the law so we can use these cameras in stretches of highway where it's not practical? They're safe for an officer to be out there trying to make traffic stops. You know, there's people driving 80, 90 miles an hour regularly, especially on these county roads up here. And I've had three fatals in the last couple of years near where I live. You know, if they put a camera up and just cite these people that are driving 80, 90 plus miles per hour, it would generate a lot of revenue that would benefit the counties themselves and the state for traffic problems. Plus, it would reduce the accidents and deaths on our highways.
Mike, thank you. Secretary.
Well, Mike, I appreciate your time as a trooper. You know, that is a policy decision that the legislature and governor could make. But I will want to point out that what Mike's saying, we did see, despite traffic being down this last year, we had fatalities being up. And that was we saw that throughout our Midwestern states and really throughout the country. And it was precisely because of what Mike said. People were driving very erratic. We issued almost more than 1,500 tickets for people driving over 100 miles per hour. So it is a problem, and we want to make sure that people are driving safe.
Secretary, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Kate.
Craig Thompson is Secretary Designee of the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. Coming up, the State Capitol Report continues with Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes here, looking at areas of the budget that address climate change. You can join in. What do you want the state to tackle with issues related to climate? 800-642-1234. News update is next on the Ideas Network.